Welcome in to Rover Sports. It's a Tuesday night. There's so much going on here in Philadelphia. The Eagles are 10-1. The Sixers are always interesting to talk about. They come off a nice win, and they've been in a pretty good stretch. Touching a little bit upon the United States of America, we have our soccer expert here, Dr. Lewis. On the way, we have Spencer G., the coach from Twin Valley. The Lancaster, where the men are happy, the sheep are still scared. And Coach Daish is on his way. And we have Brett Kronberger behind the glass. Want to welcome everybody to Rover Sports to tell you how you can log on. Oh, maybe I should hit that. Those famous two words, go live. So many of you are on Facebook, and I have new video settings. So, wow, they are good, as advertised by a company called Apple. Many of you are listening to 97.5 HD2. Don't be confused with HD1. That's an overblown station. This is DB. Jeff Reinhold, there you are. And everybody, logging in to Grossinger Facebook, as well as, of course, WWDBAM.com. And we have Brett Kronberger, who's a famous movie star, who's also going to stream live, and he's got the technology. And, of course, I'm with Dr. Lewis. And I guess we'll start off, obviously we have so much to talk about the Eagles. Give us a little quick synopsis of basically we're in a division, the United States and my least favorite country, Iran, the terrorist nation of Iran. And the other, there's basically, when we see them, for, you know, and again, we'll talk soccer, there's death, cancer, and Iran. I always vote for death and cancer before Iran. But I hear the United States has a victory against that terroristic nation. So give us a little insight into what happened.
Well, as we were educated, it's not Iran, it's Iran. You have to say it the right way.
I'm glad I did.
It's Iran.
I didn't pronounce it correctly.
Did you see that interview? What a great, the captain, is. What a gentleman he was. He was corrected about mispronouncing the country. And then they asked him about the problems in the United States, and he just gave such a professional answer. But yes, the United States did defeat Iran 1-0 today. They will advance, and they play the Netherlands on Saturday, December 3rd at 10 a.m., and I know we'll all be watching that game. We might even get together and have breakfast and soccer.
Iran, hi, Jay, hi, from Louisiana. My best athlete at Haverford High School is Jay High.
Jay High. Hi, Jay.
Tremendous all-sport athlete, great guy. Where he is, he's got the best Facebook page. Good to see you. So Iran or Iran, I guess just the way I can't call them the Commanders, I still call them the Redskins, I will try to mispronounce the name of the terroristic nation of Iran. But they shut him out, I guess. So I guess
Christian Pulisic,
were there any good shots on goal by the opposing team today?
Nah, we Christian Pulisic with the goal, and Iran's going to go home, and we're going to.
But Netherlands, I was saying, Netherlands are one of my favorite countries. So obviously, I'm always going to root for the United States, but I don't have any animus against the Netherlands. It's actually a great place, great place to travel. You've probably been there. To the Anne Frank house, obviously some sad memories. But, of course, the Heineken Brewery, some very happy memories. And a place where there's many more bikes than cars. So Netherlands, it's a very neutral nation. I don't think anybody could really dislike the Netherlands.
Yeah, no, you can't dislike the Netherlands. But it'll be an interesting game. Of course, we're rooting for our boys to continue the success. 10 a.m. Saturday, they'll be playing.
No, so we definitely appreciate that.
Yep.
And we come to, of course, the Philadelphia Eagles, 10-1. I attended the game. It's funny how the weather is here. Like a month ago, it was freezing cold, but 2 days ago, it was 60 degrees. I was wearing a short sleeve shirt. And so the weather, I guess, there are some advantages to the weather changes, And one is the fact that it's really warm. It was an incredible game statistically with running. And, just tell me your thoughts.
Yeah, well, I mean, this game is not complicated. It's controlling the ball and the time of possession, and the Eagles went back old school using their offensive line, arguably the greatest offensive line in the NFL. They opened up some great holes for the team, both Jalen Hurts, record numbers on the ground rushing the ball, and, of course, Miles Sanders So I think offensively, the team did very, very well. They was a little crazy at the end there, giving up 33 points on defense. And special teams still remains a concern and something that they have to shore up, no doubt. But overall, this team's exciting. And, you know, the Packers, despite their record, are a pretty good team with the Hall of Fame quarterback who eventually did get hurt in the game. But it's a big victory. I mean, right now the Eagles are 10-1, and they have the best record in football, and most importantly are on target to have home field advantage throughout.
Yeah, it's pretty exciting. Obviously, a lot of recollection about 2017 and that great Super Bowl that you and I attended. And this team is different in certain ways and similar in the fact there was a great offensive line then, and now they've reloaded the team. And just the running of a quarterback who ran for, was it 165?
Mm-hmm. And 157.
Okay, so, you know, being an Eagles fan for a long time, I always thought that Randall Cunningham was the best running quarterback. And, you know, he was just tremendous. But he never, yep. He was the ultimate weapon. But he never ran for this many yards. And one thing similar is that both guys were very fast and very sturdy. And it seems right now that Hurts is just so fast. And he seems he gets more athletic every year. And he just could go through a hole, and he's got so much speed. And listening to Seth Joyner, the way they're playing him, they're spying him with a safety. And Hurts is so fast and so elusive that the conventional way of spying a quarterback with a safety is unconventional in the sense that Hurts is just faster than everybody. He's faster than the linebackers. He's faster than the safeties. And he could just go, and he could just knock out 10, 20, or 30 yards. And that's how a quarterback can amass such an incredible number of yards.
So what it is he's very strong. He has a very low center of gravity, and his legs are very, very strong. He works his legs. He lifts a lot of weights. It's not so much that he's fast as he's quick. He has a great start-stop ability and move on a dime, and he's breaking ankles basically on the defenders. That's what he's doing. So that is the difference between him and Randall. Randall was just tall and lanky and a big stride and was very, very fast. But this guy, Jalen Hurts, is very quick and can stop on a dime and break ankles of the defenders, and that's what he's doing. In fact, one of the reporters asked him after the game, I thought it was a very funny question. They said what the reporter meant was, why so many design plays for a quarterback? Why'd you get so many yards is what was asked. And his answer was, I don't really know how to answer that question. I ran the ball. They couldn't catch me. That's what he said. It was adorable. It really was an adorable answer. I don't know that he understood the
question. Well, he's a humble guy. In other words, he is an incredibly humble and very likable guy. I want to welcome Coach Josh Dacey to the show. Another very hardworking guy. A basketball coach, pharmaceutical rep, deals with humans and all animals, actually, which is great. And we were talking a little bit about Eagles, and like you said, Josh, the team's 10-1, but there's still a lot of naysayers, a lot of hand-wringers. Let's continue that dialogue on air.
You know, it's unbelievable. I mean, and you have what you're watching as an MVP candidate to a year ago, and maybe as much as far back as in January and in August. We all doubted a lot. Several people in Philadelphia were, no, we'd rather have Russell Wilson. No, we'd rather have any other quarterback that we can get in here other than Jalen Hurts. And he, you know what, he's so mature for his age at 23 years old, and he's able to just to take control of this team. And again, you know what, I oftentimes say it, Doc, you know what, you have good leaders in that clubhouse right now. You in that locker room, you have – You have like Lane Johnson, Jason Kelsey. You've got, you know, Brandon Graham, who's a tremendous leader. And they're all saying that it's his team. And you know what? That speaks volumes. I wish our head coach would act more like Jalen Hurts instead of the rah-rah, the pom-poms that he often does on the sidelines after games or going after fans and stuff.
Ooh.
Yeah, I don't
call it after Nick.
I don't enjoy Nick's antics at all. But,
really?
You know, I think it's high school. I think he's still, you know, and he's done a good job. You know, and like I said, we all, after seeing his first press conference, was like,
coming after Nick.
Oh my gosh, yeah. So, but I mean, I'm thrilled for Jalen Hurts. You know, I think the way, what baffles me is, and I continue to say this to buddies who are high school coaches, and I say, you know, it's late in the game, and he spreads them out. Like, again, in Indianapolis, they spread them out. Aren't you realizing he's spreading the field out, and he's going to attack and run? And he did it against Indianapolis. And I mean, he was phenomenal the other night. And even though one of the, I forget who they had spying on him, he just couldn't keep up with
it. They had a safety, as we said just before coming in.
Yeah.
I was listening to Seth Joyner, and again, Seth is great, especially with the defensive critique. Oh, yeah. Even though they are 10-1, there's still a lot to talk about. It. Seth, I think, is the best at post-game analysis. Everybody, wherever he is, he's on Jacob Media Sports to put a plug in for Seth. But he's just great. He's very entertaining. And I think the most fun we had on that show was when they lost the Commanders because they were on for like 2 hours. They were just giddy talking about it. Seth and D. Gunner just always at each other's throats. But getting back to the offense here, you know, Jalen Hurts, like Steve was saying, is very quick. He can just get through that hole in such a fast way. Yeah. And there's so many design plays, and you can see it. You're watching the game. I'm at the game. You know, I like the end zone seat because I can see the plays developing. Sure. Always my preference. And I can see the holes. Even if there's a tiny hole, Hurts is going to get through there. And obviously, Miles Sanders is having a great year. Not injured. His hamstrings are fine. And he's earning, in my opinion, he's earning a contract, whatever a running back is. I don't know if it's going to be a 3-year deal or whatever the going rate is. He's not going to get an Ezekiel Elliott deal.
No.
But Miles is, you know, he obviously at the beginning of the year was playing hurt. He's a Penn State guy. You're a big Penn State guy. Yeah. And Miles Sanders is a big part of this team. Steve, what are your thoughts?
Listen, you know, Coach Josh Dacey comes into this studio and he's beating up the head coach of a team that's 10-1.
Oh, I mean,
Come on, coach.
He's doing a good job, but he's still high school Harry.
He's high school Harry. And I'm going to jump with you. It's my job to put the brakes on a lot of these things. And I think you're right, coach. You know, the antics, listen, it's working. They like them. It's working because they're winning. And I don't want to put a damper on anything. But, you know, this team's 10-1, and they're playing a very easy schedule, and they're playing very poor teams. And the mark of a great team is to play, not to play down to the level of your competition. And until the Commanders game, which now the Commanders are playing pretty well, they haven't played down to their competition. They've been beating them. There are definite deficits in this. But when you talk about Coach Nick Sirianni, forget the antics. Let's just talk about his play calling, okay? Because which Nick Sirianni and team are we going to see? Are we going to see a team that doesn't want to run the ball? Are we going to complain and moan about that? Or are we going to see a team that exclusively used our offensive line, controlled the clock, and ran the ball against an Aaron Rodgers Hall of Fame quarterback that we saw on Sunday night? The next thing that we have to be concerned about, when has a running quarterback with design plays this way, not a mobile quarterback that can run, but I'm talking about an option offense, won a Super Bowl? You're putting this guy in potential harm's way. I mean, you know, when you look at his QBR, I mean, as great as a game he had, he's an MVP candidate. His QBR was 96. He was 16 for 28 passing, 153 yards. So he's basically doing it on the ground. And will that work? I mean, you're talking about a safety being a spy on him, but you saw what happened last year in the playoffs against Tampa Bay with Todd Bowles, an average defensive coordinator. I mean, the test is going to be this week because you're talking about Mike Vrabel, who is an elite.
Absolutely.
And he's the head coach, but he's an elite defensive mind. And this is going to be a big, big deal, in my opinion, and it's going to spell a lot. This is a really tough test. The Titans are 7-4. They're not an unbelievable team. But this is a defensive coach. We're playing at home. And how he controls and takes care of this guy, of Jalen Hurts, is going to speak volumes as to how good of a coach Nick Sirianni is. But I'm concerned, Bruce. I mean, it's not – you have to worry about anybody getting hurt, but we're using him as a running back, as an option offense. You have to be very concerned about that and where that's going to lead us.
Yeah, and I expressed that, you know, when I was talking to Mike Missinelli, his last question was about Jalen Hurts. And it was about a hit near the end of the game where he got hit in the back of the neck. And what do you think about as a doctor? And obviously, we always worry about, you know, herniated disc or, you know, the extreme is a spinal cord injury. But the fact is that and we're going to get into that because that's kind of breaking news with C.J. Gardner-Johnson. But that's always my concern is that this is the NFL Football League. And there are going to be teams, especially, they're going to go at, if they know the football is a run, you know, the quarterback's a runner, he's not in the pocket, so he doesn't really have protection. you're going to statistically, the guys he's playing against are so big, especially the linebackers and safeties. How much are you going to put him in harm's way? Is that one win worth it? And against the Packers, they're a bottom five running. They're a very poor run defense. So I kind of understand it. But Nick Sirianni will tell you a lot of those are decisions that are made by the quarterback in real time.
Yes.
And some of the critique of the old Jalen Hurts, or the bad Jalen, was that he only had one read and would pull the ball down and run. And now that he's seemingly better, he's just better at running. He has a better idea of the field. It's almost a curse in that you don't want him running 17 times. To have a quarterback, if he gets hit, anything that could happen to him, it could take the air out of the balloon and ruin the season. And you have Miles Sanders. One thing I did like is they rotated Kenneth Gainwell. They rotated Boston Scott. Just the way they rotated their running backs, and obviously gaining over 360 yards. But you have Vrabel. It's a very good defensive line. It's a very good linebacking crew. In certain ways, it reminds me a little bit of the Steelers. You know, not this bad Steelers team, but traditional Steelers. Great line, great linebackers. And they are very good against the run. And we look at why they weren't successful really against the pass. You looked at A.J. Brown was still hurt. And, you know, and he also was really sick. He really had a systemic, apparently a viral gastroenteritis. He lost 7 pounds of obviously water weight. But he was a warrior, but he wasn't right. And the fact that I don't think this guy is a guy who's going to chronically fumble the ball. He's a complete beast. And it was an aberration. But that fumble, you know, it was very costly. They were basically on the brink of blowing out the Packers, almost heading towards halftime. And that fumble really was a 14-point spread. You were watching the game. How did that fumble affect the team, Steve?
It absolutely affected the team and gave them life. I mean, one thing you don't want to do with a Hall of Fame quarterback is give his team life. So you're 100% right. That game was a blowout in the making, and that fumble was very costly. But it's an aberration. It's an outlier. That's not what A.J. Does. I mean, he's not going to fumble the ball. He just wasn't right. He was sick. But back to Jalen Hurts. I mean, what you're seeing, I don't want him winning the MVP. I want him winning a Super Bowl. And the ball, he is the quarterback in every sense of the word. So he's running an RPO where he is the decision maker on whether he hands that ball off to the running back or he's going to run the ball himself. And the way he's supposed to do that is to read the defense at real time at the line of scrimmage and make that decision. And that's what he's supposed to do, and that's what he's doing. So I'd rather the running backs do their job and run the ball and him going through his progressions, but you're not seeing a lot of that. You're seeing more of Jalen of taking the ball and running the ball. So that's my concern because it's never worked. You remember the Michael Vick Atlanta team? I remember we played them New Year's Eve. They were an elite team. Michael Vick was the best
running quarterback.
The best.
But yet, when you go up against a team, and our team had an elite defense,
and you did.
That's when the buck stops. You know, if you look at the 49ers, and again, Spencer's here now, and some of the fun things, and Greg LaMonica, great guy, LaMonica Law. Any of you who need a domestic lawyer, any type of domestic lawyer, there's only one choice. That's Greg LaMonica in Media, Pennsylvania. A great guy, a dear friend. And I've had a lot of friends who've had, you know, issues, domestic issues, spouses or dogs or manicurists or even housekeepers. And we throw a little levity in there. Charles Keetron, but some great people logging in. And LaMonica Law is always the best. So I always, when I see Greg pop up, I have to give him a big...
And Greg is commenting that Nick Sirianni listened to him about running the ball more, and we want to thank Greg for
Rover Sports. I think that's why Nick is just settling down to one of his TV dinners in the NovaCare, one of his old Swanson TV dinners.
Sirloin steak.
His old steak. Yeah. So as far as Nick's concerned, I guess my feeling is that as long as it works for the team, in other words, we look at Rob Thompson, his demeanor. Wasn't a great interview, not a lot of levity. I personally loved him. He was kind of a deadpan guy. But we look at Joe Girardi, a hard-nosed guy, a guy who eats nails, kind of more of a Chip Kelly, kind of an angry guy, but a little bit of a Belichickian, but that personality didn't work. And he didn't really like to play the young guys. And if we roll back and forth, my problem with Doc Rivers is, and he's a little bit more of a Girardi. He's lately trying to be a tough guy, not a feel good guy. And does that work for the Sixers? I don't know. But whatever Nick Sirianni's doing, maybe he's a young guy. He's loosening him up. He's letting Shane Steichen call the plays. He realizes that maybe that's not his forte, and the team keeps winning. So maybe Nick is a CEO. He's organizing the team. Obviously, there's a special teams problem with the Eagles, and so far it hasn't, you know, I'd say offense, defense, special teams, it hasn't been a problem. But looking at other teams, you know, you look at the Packers, they had a tremendous, the kick returner ran for 150 yards, and our guy still doesn't run for any yards. So, Spence, you watched the game. You were there.
Yeah.
What do you think of the Eagles' special teams?
The kicking game, not good.
Well, the field goal kicking game.
I'm calling it the kicking game because that's what I call it. Some people call it special teams. Some people call it the kicking game. But right. Jake Elliott specifically, you're right, is tremendous. And that kick sealed the game. Now, other than that guy, Nixon, I don't really know a returner this year that has really hurt the Philadelphia Eagles in punt returns. And they're trying to phase that out of the game. I mean, with the way that these kickers are built these days with evolution of the human body, they can kick the ball like 65 yards now. So a lot of times it's just out of the end zone. I'm not sure. One, you're never – if you can't tackle in practice, what are the odds of you – practicing punt return and risking your guys getting hurt. So a lot of times probably teams are ignoring that facet of the game because everybody's just kneeling the ball back there, touching it back every single time. But credit to Green Bay. They definitely had a very successful plan for that in the game. But yeah, that aspect was not good.
So I guess in Facebook, I guess our audio is cutting off and on, and hopefully more on than off. Yeah. But in looking at this game with the defense, we still have a team that doesn't blitz very much, and we have a team that really gets gashed with the running backs. Obviously, you had Aaron Jones, and you had the second running back.
A.J. Dillon.
And starting that game, at least, this was just an offensive battle. Like, there was no defense in the game. It was 27-20 at halftime. So you're up against Derrick Henry, who is one of the best runners in the league. He is the best running back. So, Steve, how do you see you're jumping into the you're Jonathan Gannon right now, and you've got Ryan Tannehill. It certainly is much better than the backup that we saw was pretty terrible. Willis. I love Willis. Dontrell Willis?
No, that's the guy from the Marlins.
Marlins. He was a great pitcher.
Remember D-Train, Dontrell Willis?
But Willis, but, we loved him
Malik,
at the combine.
Malik Willis, who's a rookie, who's 23 years old.
A devout Christian.
Yeah, he's third-round guy, and honestly, just like the pro game's really fast for him, but it doesn't mean that he's not going to be good. I mean, he could still be good. Like, Geno Smith didn't start being good until he's 30 or 32. So
Dr. Lewis, talking about looking at the Titans offense, Derrick Henry, Tannehill, they've got some weapons on the outside. How would you this is a formidable team. They had a very slow start. They have a lot of momentum right now. It's a playoff team. The Titans have been good the last few years. How would you defend against this team?
Yeah, I'm a huge Tennessee fan. I really like Mike Vrabel. I think he's an elite coach and a great defensive mind. They have to stick to what works, and it's not Ryan Tannehill. It's Derrick Henry. Derrick Henry already has 1,000 yards this season. He averages over 4 yards a carry. Every time he touches the ball, he's got 10 touchdowns. He hasn't fumbled the ball this season. So he is the prototypical elite running back that you want as a team. It's the old NFC East football style And it's going to be a real challenge for Ndamukong Suh and the boys. You know, they really are going to have to stop the run and Derrick Henry and make Ryan Tannehill beat them if that's what they're going to do. The game's at home, and Tennessee's fighting for their life right now. I mean, they're 7-4, and but again, Vrabel is just a really an elite coach. I think offensively, it's all about Derrick Henry. It's about stopping that run and making Ryan Tannehill beat you. Defensively, the Eagles are going to have to. I mean, this guy is going to figure out Jalen Hurts. It's not just going to be with one safety spy. It's going to be what Jimmy Johnson did to Michael Vick when he was with Atlanta. This is going to be a real test for this Philadelphia team.
Steve, the way I would guard the Eagles, it's not easy. That's why they're the best team in the NFL. It's because of their running game. This offense just hasn't been stopped this year.
Right.
So you got to find a way to stop Miles Sanders and Jalen Hurts on the ground, and you got to force Jalen to pass. Now, Jalen had a great throwing game against Minnesota and against the Redskins in Week 3. He lit them up. I think that the way to beat the Eagles is you go one-on-one across the board and you spy A.J. Brown. Would you agree with that defensively? You should play to make Jalen Hurts beat you through the air. Make him throw for 250 yards and see if you can intercept the ball, because Jalen Hurts was really throwing the ball accurately. But this Eagles offensive line is one of the best offensive lines I can ever remember. Jason Kelce is a Hall of Famer. He's ageless. This Philadelphia Eagles team was just so impressive on Sunday. And this year, it's been a dream season. I mean, they really haven't been tested other than the Washington game. The Colts game, they were tested.
They were tested in Indianapolis.
In what game? In Indy?
Yeah.
And then in Arizona, you would say they were tested?
I think so.
So what?
But this season has been, they're 10-1, Josh. It's one of the best teams that the Eagles have ever had. I mean, that's what I wanted to ask you, Josh. Do you think, Josh, this is the best Eagles team that you've ever seen? They're 10-1. It's one of the best teams I can ever remember in this city.
Well, the record speaks for it. But, yes. You know, I mean, they like we were talking about earlier, they have chemistry. They have maturity. Their seniority gone. Yeah, Spencer, on paper, they are. And I think I think people are almost, when you listen to the callers on the radio, they're still like, oh, is he really a top five quarterback? Is he really an MVP candidate? I'm not sold on this defense yet. They've made plays when they've had to make plays. And you know what? I mean, it's good teams make plays down the stretch, and they make things happen, you know, and that's what's made this team fun, because they've had that opportunity the entire time.
There's a great question from one of our callers, Joseph Mora, MD, another doctor, and he wants to know, and again, this way you have to deal with personnel, Spencer, is there a mid-level spy that could tackle Hurts on that team? Is there a Polamalu on that team? I don't really know the personnel.
I don't know them really in depth. I think it's going to have to be a linebacker. And, like Micah Parsons, what they did with him is they didn't block him. You know, they allowed him to say, okay,
they let him come in.
If you're going to go after Sanders, then Hurts is going to have to keep the ball. But maybe Tennessee, listen, if Jalen Hurts is carrying the ball, you got to treat him like he's a ball carrier, not a quarterback. And that's how you're going to beat Jalen Hurts, is you're going to have to hit him and make him think twice about running the football. That's the only way you're going to beat him, is by really being physical and violent when Jalen runs the football.
It does. And you look at, let's look at some great college teams. If we could go back in the day, Dr. Lewis, I look at Texas, Wishbone, Oklahoma, Nebraska. This is an option. This is an option team. And basically, if you have the option and it hurts is running and then pitching the ball to Sanders, he's going to get hit. He's going to be exposed. And he's a runner, and he's not going to be afforded the protection that a quarterback is given in the pocket. So it's got to be a concern.
Yeah, I think that what the teams aren't doing is looking at what Todd Bowles and Tampa Bay did last year. You saw a lot of cover zero where they were in man, and they were really exclusively man-to-man across the board.
Right.
They mixed up cover one and cover zero last year. And it was effective. And I would expect Vrabel to do something similar to that, as opposed to when you rush this quarterback and if he can break through it, he's gone. I mean, that's
when you rush past him, like you said with Parsons,
they were rushing
he would rush past him And then he would be able to go, and he had incredible.
And with his quickness, he can break your ankles and take off. Whereas opposed to if they're kind of laying back in even a zone, but a cover. I mean, that's what I mean, Vrabel's going
to
mix it up.
But I will give credit to Jalen that when they've done that, he's gotten the ball to A.J. Brown and been a really good passer. But you're absolutely right. Jalen Hurts this year throwing the ball. Most of the yards are on the ground, other than maybe a few games. So,
well, you're 100%. I mean, that,
and
you said
maybe
it.
When they're stacking the box, Stoutland and this line is so good, it sometimes doesn't even matter.
But
maybe
Spencer, you said it. You said it a few minutes ago. You said the way to beat the Eagles is to make Jalen Hurts beat you as a quarterback, not as a running back. And he's before you got here, we were talking. But he's running. He's basically in control of this offense in that he is. It's an RPO, and he's the decision maker as to is he handing the ball off to Miles or is he taking the ball himself. Yeah. So I hope he's not getting in the mind frame where he's wants to win the MVP because everyone's talking about.
I hope he doesn't get Joel Embiid syndrome.
The key, exactly, Bruce. The key is to win the Super Bowl, not to win an MVP. And the way he could win MVP is to run 150 yards a game. I mean, that's not what this goal is about. He's got to be able to read a defense, and I'm scared that he's going back to rookie Jalen where he's just taken off too soon. And
the fact it's working, or he's getting a lot of positive reinforcement. Look at all the accolades he's got this week.
Yeah.
And it's human. He wants to win.
So
when he's really in a tough spot, it's just like people trust themselves. You know, look in the mirror. That's the one who you're going to trust the most. But I'm concerned that they've got to be able to involve guys like Devontae Smith. A.J. Brown will be healthier this week. He's not going to have a viral syndrome. His ankle will be better. Obviously, Goddard, I think he's maybe coming back in maybe two or three weeks. And
this game couldn't have occurred at a better time. You don't want to face Tennessee in the playoffs, where it would be the Super Bowl, so you do. But you don't. They couldn't have come at a better time. You're 10-1.
Yep.
This is going to be a real lesson and teaching point for this team because Mike Vrabel, I consider him to be an elite defensive mind. And you know, what he's going to do to Jalen Hurts and to this Eagles offense is going to tell us what Nick Sirianni can do as an X's and O's coach and how he's going to make adjustments and Shane Steichen and what you know, the Eagles need to work on. This game couldn't have happened at a better time for this Philadelphia Eagles organization.
Spence, tell us about this Tennessee offense and tell us about the team overall. I know you watch a lot more AFC than us.
Yeah.
It's kind of fun. One thing that's really fun, I must say, the teams are coming into the link this year. It's just like a real all-star lineup. You know, to be able to see Aaron Rodgers play in person, you know, even albeit he got hurt at the very end of the game, and watching the Titans, Titans are a team that I usually root for. It's a team I like if they're not playing the Eagles. Because they're tough, and you certainly look at Vrabel, one of the toughest great linebackers, maybe a Hall of Fame linebacker for the Patriots. He probably won enough Super Bowls. I don't know if he's young enough to qualify, or I should say old enough to qualify for a Hall of Fame, but Vrabel was a guy I really liked and I really respected, even though I was never a big Patriots fan.
Yeah.
So you watch a lot of them.
Yeah.
Tannehill, you never really liked Tannehill.
No.
Have you come around to liking him more?
Well, on the field, he's a really decent player. He's really made a great career for himself. He battled adversity in Miami when he lost all those games and he was relegated to being Mariota's backup. And he didn't get down on himself in that moment. And then when he got his second chance, he really performed very admirably in that second chance. I will say this about Tennessee. Vrabel's a really good coach. He's aggressive. Derrick Henry's a Hall of Famer. I really think so. He's a player that you kind of grow up watching and respecting his play. But they also play in one of the worst divisions, like in recent memory, not only this year, but the past couple of years. You have Houston, the Texans. They're an expansion franchise with not a lot of money or resources. Jacksonville's very similar. Not a lot of money and resources. Very new franchise, expansion franchise, and really hasn't had any success other than Tom Coughlin. So you have those two teams in your division. And then usually Indianapolis, ever since Peyton Manning and Andrew Luck, they've been good. Now there's total turbulence.
Not now.
We have Jeff Saturday coming in, Matt Ryan. It is.
Matt Ryan's really.
It's a total. It's
embarrassing almost.
It's really a complete crapshoot in Indy right now. It's a total turbulent situation.
It's a crap show.
So Tennessee. is the king of the little people. I guess we can all you know.
The Lilliputians.
The little people. That's what Tennessee is, right? They're the only team that's like any good. That's why they're winning their division.
Go ahead, Josh.
Very similar to what New England went on a huge run for a long period of time in the AFC. The Jets weren't good. Okay, the Jets weren't good. Buffalo stumbled.
Dolphins are terrible.
It was very similar. And from that comparison, Spencer, you have one dominant team, which is, you know, by comparison, you have the NFC East, which is continuing to right now. I mean, obviously we're leaps and bounds, but they're eating each other. I mean, you've got the Cowboys. You got Washington's playing the Giants. This is a big game this week.
They've actually, like Rivera silently, like really kept his job, and Heineke's done a tremendous job.
Well, I wouldn't say he's done a tremendous job. If you talk to some of the people down in Washington, you do. Yeah,
tell us about what getting into Washington.
You're not a Heineke guy for the Redskins.
Go ahead, Josh.
I personally like what he's doing. I love the fact that he's winning, but his stats aren't very good. He throws a lot of bad interceptions. I mean, I was talking to a good buddy of mine, Elliot, and he's from Washington, lives down there, and he's like, Josh, he stinks. You're going to see Carson Wentz soon. I said, what?
Oh my God.
He hasn't lived in Philly.
But Josh, I know, but you're the one guy that you're the stats are for losers guy, Josh. Come on, Heineke should be your guy.
I mean, he's exciting, but he does make a lot of dumb turnovers. He really does.
But he also at least is getting McLaurin involved, and his release is better than Wentz, and Wentz is hurt. So Heineke's like more mobile, He went on the road, and he beat the Eagles. That's one of the best wins anyone's had.
I can be honest. I've been watching the Redskins for a long time, and I was able to say Redskins once. We'll say it two more times.
Yeah, to fill the quota.
We want to honor. We talked about
Grandma's going to get confused what team that is.
Yeah, I think she knows. She won't get confused because she watched the Redskins for 50 years or whatever.
Right, go ahead.
But I haven't seen a Washington team in the last 10 or 15 years that really commands the respect, the defense, just the black uniforms, whatever. And Heineke is a tough guy. And they're always soft. They're so dysfunctional. I really have some respect for this Washington team.
And guess who they're missing? Who they're missing? The guy that was considered a generational player has been injured.
Chase Young.
Chase Young was supposed to be their centerpiece, their cornerstone.
Steve, you watch
Washington. He hasn't even played.
Do you have a little respect for that team now or not really?
Well, I mean, I hate him, but
Do you respect the way they're playing this year?
We like Ron Rivera. I mean, nobody's battled
cancer. He's an Eagles
guy. This guy was getting IV fluids at halftime and chemotherapy at halftime. He's a winner. He's an overall great guy and a good defensive mind. But, you know, what Coach is saying, I mean, I'm a little surprised. I mean, what Taylor Heineke does is what Fitzmagic does. Yep. And he wins.
He does.
However he does it, he wins. He's a smart guy, right? Taking that knee, and he knew he was going to get. He has got a very high football IQ. The kid's a winner. He's high energy. He's what we love in Philadelphia. Yeah. And, you know, you make fun of Kirk Cousins. Kirk Cousins, all he did was win when he was in Washington.
Correct.
And throw for 300 yards. But it's not about the stats. The most important stat is winning. And he's turned this franchise around. And I think that if they tried to bring Carson Wentz back, they would force Snyder to sell that team even faster than he's going to have to sell anyway.
There's a question from Lisa from Reading.
Yeah.
Directed to you, Dr. Lewis.
Uh-oh.
As a guy, internist who knows a lot about the organs. Big breaking news today. CJ or Chauncey Gardner-Johnson. It's hard to remember all these names.
CJ Gardner-Brown.
We'll call him CJ.
Yeah.
And he went down with a really ugly looking injury. He flopped to the ground. He was down for a really long time. And attending the game, when somebody goes down and they're just down for a long time, he came up holding his shoulder and just having two guys slowly escort him off the field. And as a fan or as a doctor, you don't really know. And then we got word from John McMullen to say this is a rib injury. And a lot of my post-game stuff and Rover Sports stuff was talking about worrying about hemothorax and pneumothorax statistically about, you know, puncturing the lung and needing different types of treatment. And today it splashed out that CJ had the same injury as Zach Ertz. Basically, lower rib injury with a lacerated kidney. And as an internist, what parameters do you monitor? What do you think about this? Tell us about this injury and how do you treat it? And what do you prognosticate without actually treating the player or seeing imaging or knowing the size of the laceration? What are your thoughts on that medically?
Well, obviously, it's a very serious concern whenever any organ is lacerated. But Bruce, you had mentioned on your post-game, Jacob, about a fractured rib and that it may not show right away. And of course, you're right about that. He likely has a fractured rib as well that hasn't been shown yet. But there is a lacerated kidney. And the good news is he's not going to require surgery for it. But the bad news is that he's going to be out a minimum of 4 weeks. So he's likely not coming back until next year, looking at the January 1st game against the Saints. But
when we say next year, we mean the next calendar year.
Calendar year,
okay,
right.
The January 1st game. Thank God, because he might be back.
He'll be
for
back.
The playoffs, hopefully.
He will definitely be back this season, but likely miss 4 weeks. But you have to protect the organs. And so this will heal on its own. It doesn't require surgery. It will regenerate to the point of healing, and he'll be fine. But, you know, he's going to be in a lot of pain. He's got the fractured rib. You know, not much you can do about that. And it's just about rest right now for him. But, you know, all things considered, he's very fortunate. But that was a really serious hit to the point.
It was, and he's been a tremendous player. One of the best acquisitions, I'd say, A.J. Brown and C.J.
What did he have, an interception in five straight games, I think?
He had six straight games. I think so. And he has six interceptions. So even though he's out, he's still leading the league. And just a great player. We had the emergence of our new guy, number 32, with that great interception, a rookie from Middle Tennessee State.
Reed Blankenship.
Reed Blankenship. Yeah. And a fresh face in the crowd. And, Josh, you saw that interception. And I just like to see fresh faces. I like to see young guys come in and get a shot. And that was remarkable to intercept a pass from the great Hall of Famer, Aaron Rodgers. Saw that play. What did you see on that?
It's always nice when you see fresh faces come in and they make an impact right away, because it just goes to people go, oh, how are we going to replace this? And someone steps up. It's kind of that next man mentality that coaches oftentimes preach when a player goes down. Well, we got to find the next guy that's going to step up. We've got 53 guys on the roster. They're here for a reason. So that's what they want. And you know what? It's exciting. And I think people have more faith when they see something like that right away. Okay, we're not, all of a sudden the season's not over, or they don't go in meltdown mode. So it's great to see that when other guys on the team that don't get their opportunities step right up.
What you see also is a mentality of the head coach, Nick Sirianni. What you see is the next man up mentality worked. I mean, everybody didn't, it's what happened with the Eagles in 2017. You had six Pro Bowl type players go down, starters, and Doug Peterson kept that team alive, and we can't next man up mentality. That's what Nick Sirianni did. I mean, you're talking about the star, the difference maker, a guy that has six interceptions in six consecutive games go down, and they didn't give up. This guy comes in and has an interception from a Hall of Fame quarterback. So the reality is, you got to give the head coach a lot of credit on that. I mean, it would have been easy for them to just say, oh my God, our star defensive safety went out. No, it didn't happen. The rookie came in and made a big difference.
So it looks like we're up against a break at the top of the hour. Everybody's favorite part of the show is, of course, our fabulous picks. So we'll be back, and we are Rover Sports.
WWDB 860 AM Philadelphia and WPEN HD2 Burlington, Philadelphia.
Hello there, this is Nat King Cole wishing you all a happy and a Merry Christmas.
The joy of living is in the giving. So let's give lots of toys for tots. Toys, toys, toys for tots. Some have too many, some haven't any. If those who have give those who haven't, oh, what a Christmas day. The Marine Reserve will help you, will help you fill your sleigh with lots and lots of toys for tots. So give a little toy today.
Since 1947, the United States Marine Corps has been helping Santa fill his sleigh, making happier holidays for deserving children right in your community. Go to toysfortots.org and learn how you can make a difference.
Hi, I'm Cody DiPablo. Cancer, we don't want to think about it, but I had to because, well, I was busy working, traveling, enjoying life, completely forgot to pay attention to my health. Too much time passed since my last PAP. By the time I was tested, things didn't look too good. We thought I might have cervical cancer.
Cervical, ovarian, and uterine cancers are gynecologic cancers. I was lucky. After lots of worries, no cancer. I've always been very close to my mother. When we finally got good results, she broke down. And that's when I realized it's not just about me. It's about your loved ones, too. So women, get a Pap test to check for cervical cancer and get the inside knowledge about gynecologic cancers.
A message from the Inside Knowledge Campaign and the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services. For more information, call 1-800-CDC-INFO.
Vision loss is not something that you feel until it happens.
Most people lose their vision from diseases like macular degeneration and glaucoma, not at birth.
With macular degeneration, you lose your central vision.
You have a blind spot right in the center of your face, so I can't actually see your face.
So even that little circle in which I could see became a big blur.
I was 65 when I first was diagnosed with glaucoma.
There were no symptoms. I had no headaches.
3 million Americans have glaucoma, and half don't even know it.
11 million people in the United States have macular degeneration.
You lose mobility. Independence changes your entire life.
So many eye disorders can be treated if caught early.
My husband tells me that I have beautiful brown eyes, and I don't want to lose that.
Make a plan today to get your eyes checked.
Visit brightfocus.org to learn more.
Welcome back into Rover Sports on a Tuesday night. That first hour flew by. We're here with Dr. Stephen Lewis, Josh Dacey, Spencer G, sports doc, Brett Kronberger, behind the glass, the Hollywood movie star. And we wanted to delve a little bit into college football. It's really been a fun season.
Yeah.
We'll start off with one of the best wins that Michigan's had in their history, destroying Ohio State. Josh, you're a Big Ten guy. What did you just turn the microphone around because we're still on the air, although Facebook can hear you. Great. Tell us what you saw in that Big Ten matchup.
Well, congratulations to Michigan. I mean, hands down, you know, that was a staple win. That was a huge staple for the program. Some people think it's one of the biggest wins in their program's history, and they've had several. But you know what? Jim Harbaugh 2 years ago was on the hot seat. People wanted him out at Michigan. There were a lot of Michigan fans that I know that were not happy at all, and they wanted him gone. And he came back, and he did something that Ryan Day hasn't done. He hasn't beaten the arch rival yet, and he's beat him twice back-to-back years. So, you know what, I will say this with Jim Harbaugh. What he also did was this. He took a five-star quarterback, even though Gabe McNair led them and beat Ohio State last year, put him on the shelf, and had the freshman come in, and he played well enough to earn the spot and won another huge game for Michigan against Ohio State. This is great stuff for Michigan as a whole. I think the Big Ten has had a tremendous year. Unfortunately, the school that I attended and deeply love lost to both Ohio State and Michigan. So Penn State, they sit at 8 in the polls. The latest rankings just came out, Doc.
Well, that's good. I mean, they're within striking distance.
Tell us the rankings, though.
Okay, tell us that.
So the rankings going into a conference championship Saturday, you have Georgia 12-0. You know, hands down the best team. You know, they've done it. They're going to play LSU. Then you got Michigan, who's going to play Purdue on Saturday.
Michigan's 2, correct?
Michigan's 2.
Okay, that's permanent then.
TCU, which is Sonny Dukes has done a great job all year. They are number 3. And then you got USC, 11-1 at the number 4 spot. All teams are competing in their conference championships this weekend. A lot of people believe that if USC slips out, then that makes way for Ohio State to jump in or TCU, which is favorable.
TCU's in.
Well, if they lose, a lot of people don't believe they're going to matter.
I think that you're just I disagree with that, though. I mean, I get why it's a discussion, but Josh, you're punishing a team in TCU for playing an extra game while Ohio State's sitting at home on their couch and they get the benefit of the doubt when the Big 12's a better conference than the Big 10's been this year.
I disagree with that. When you have 3 teams, Spencer, and you have Big 10 has 3 teams in the top 8.
But 2 outside of you. But how about the depth of the conference, Josh? Who has Penn State beaten that you've been impressed by this year?
I mean, you know, Spencer, there's merit in
that. Michigan State's not good this year, Josh. They've had a terrible year this year. Indiana, the West is a joke. Nebraska's a joke. Purdue's a joke.
It's hard to argue.
You look at the Big Ten. Illinois, Iowa can't score. The Big Ten is so down. It's a top-heavy league. Where the Big 12 is a good league.
Tell us briefly about the Big 12.
What teams
are excelling the Big 12?
So, first of all, you have Texas, which has a bunch of talent.
Down year again.
Baylor's not an easy out. You had Kansas have, like, a very good season this year.
Oh, Kansas?
Kansas, yes. I'll tell you who else. I mean, you still have Oklahoma and Oklahoma State. Those are decent programs.
I mean, if you're Oklahoma, you're almost wondering if you made the right choice with Brett Venables.
Exactly. But listen, they have a lot of talent. There are no terrible teams. I mean, Iowa State might be the worst team in the Big 12, and it's still Matt Campbell. So I think that the Big 10 has been dreadful this year. I just think it hasn't had pop this year.
So let's talk about the coaching carousel here.
I don't know what you're saying.
I'm saying that TCU should and USC should be in the playoff even if they lose. I would not move anybody out.
Are you out of your mind? What are you talking about?
Why should Ohio State go to the playoff? They haven't.
They shouldn't.
So who should go to the playoff?
I think that's tough.
I'm asking Steve a question.
This is a factor of two things. It's a factor, number one, of records and schedule and complexity, but it's also money. I mean, is TCU going to bring any viewers in?
No, I'm talking about who's deserving.
The committee is rooting for Kansas State this weekend to beat TCU.
I don't care about television ratings. I'm for all who's a better football team.
Listen, TCU is not going to be in this playoff if they lose. There's zero chance that they're going to be in this playoff. Right. No one's going to watch TCU.
But you would admit they're more deserving without the money conversation.
No, TCU is good. No, absolutely not.
I got a question. Is there a path forward for Oregon to get it to the final?
No, Oregon's dead. They lost. They're not even playing
Oregon's
in the.
16,
they're not even
they're
playing
over.
In the Pac-12 championship. They lost to Oregon State. They have three losses.
So just you guys are the college guys. Let's just go around the horn. Then we're going to get to our fearless picks. Who are your final four? Let's see. We're gonna keep track of this.
I'm looking at
this. So who are your final four? I'm not even gonna. Number one, I think we could all agree
is Georgia.
I got that one right. Give us the next.
I'll go Michigan.
Okay. These are not who you want, but who is going to be there. Go ahead.
I think USC.
Yep.
And then I'll go Ohio State because I don't think that – I think TCU should still be in, but Kansas State's going to beat them in Dallas.
Josh, who is your final four? This is going to be fun. Every week we're going to keep weighing in on it.
Sure. I agree with Spencer. It's going to be Georgia hands down. You know, I think they'll have no problem with LSU. I think Michigan will wipe the floor with Purdue. I think TCU will.
I think they're going to beat Kansas State. Kansas State's really good.
At Kansas State?
No, it's in Dallas in Cherry World.
All right.
So I'm going to go TCU. I'm going to say they win.
Undefeated.
Right? Undefeated. They're in. And then I think USC. You know what?
How close is the Utah game going to be Friday? Utah will run the ball. Utah's the one team that beat USC this year. So I think that I hope that's a really good game.
Well, so I'm going to stay. I'll stay true with where they're at. I'm going to give USC.
Win, they're in. All these teams, USC and TCU, if they're in, and Michigan doesn't need to win. Neither does Georgia.
I will disagree with you. I think that loss, if Michigan loses against Purdue, it's a poor loss. I think Ohio State.
I think
bumps
it's a poor.
Really? Even though they just killed them.
I think it's a poor loss. I think it's a worse loss than what Ohio State just went through. So I think Michigan could either drop to 2 or 4. They could drop themselves completely out.
All right, so
Dr. Lewis, I want to hear your fearless four.
First of all, the Ohio State loss at home wasn't just a loss. It was a complete blowout. It was something I didn't even think could happen in Ohio State at the Shoe. It was an embarrassment, and it exposed Ryan Day to what I've been saying for many years, that I think he's an abysmal coach. And you were right. Harbaugh was on the hot seat just a couple years ago. Ryan Day is a boob. When he made that comment, we're going to put 100 on Michigan, it was all downhill for him at that point. And Harbaugh is just a gentleman. And when that team came out and put that flag in the middle of their thing, I thought he said, you know what? They deserve it. Georgia's going to get in. Michigan's going to beat Purdue. They're going to be in. TCU, it's a tough game. I agree with you. Kansas State is top 30 in running the ball, and they're going to have a tough time. I think they win that game. If TCU stays undefeated, I think they'll be in the bowl. I don't want to see them in the bowl because in the playoff, but they will. And I think USC gets in. If TCU loses this game, I don't think I think Alabama is going to jump everybody and get back in that top four. I mean, Alabama is.
Well, I knew. You know, again, Alabama's I'm not great at predicting things, but Spencer, I predicted Alabama would absolutely.
Of course, they will
destroy Auburn in that Iron Bowl,
right.
And that's the only way. That was the only way back for Nick Saban.
They're number
and
six.
And at the end, you heard him lobbying for his team. You know, of course, that's his job to do so. But it'd be interesting. They'd love to have Alabama.
Where's Tennessee in the rankings, by the way?
Tennessee is
seven.
But there's Alabama's six.
Alabama's ahead of them.
Alabama moved up to six. Oh, here's what's going to happen. The committee, it's a subjective thing. They pick it. It's not. There's no science to it. The money is on Alabama. That is where the money's coming from. If TCU loses this week, Alabama is in that top four.
But Ohio State's five.
They're going to jump Ohio State.
No, they're not playing this week.
I know.
So they're not going to do it.
Doc, I
got to
be honest with you. If TCU loses and they go two-loss Alabama over Ohio State, people are going to lose their minds.
Well, I think people lose their mind after that loss. I'm a little surprised.
I'm actually surprised. I would put Tennessee in, Josh, because they beat them head-to-head. What about you?
No. Alabama, I think Alabama's better.
By the way,
Tennessee, his quarterback out? Is Hooker
By the way, so LSU.
That has an effect. Obviously.
Alabama lost to LSU, and you know who LSU just lost to? They lost to the worst team in the SEC at Texas A&M this week. That's how flawed
Don't
this LSU
surprised
team
if
is.
TSU loses. Alabama's in that top.
LSU's a bad, it's not even a good loss anymore.
Well, guess what? The time has come
for our fearless picks.
Uh-oh.
And Coach Daish is always the keeper of the flame, and he is this week as well. And
how's the record? Do you have a record?
Doc, I was running, so I missed. I've updated.
We're not going to do that. We appreciate your diligence as far as even teeing up these games for us.
All right, so a Thursday night game, an Amazon special. We got Buffalo traveling to New England. Okay, Buffalo's 8-3. New England's still hanging on. All right.
Yeah.
New England's getting 4 points. Spencer, where are we going?
Yeah, you think that line would be more right, but it's not.
No,
I don't.
Not at home on a night game. No.
I'm taking the Patriots to actually upset W, and I like the Patriots in this spot. I really do because Allen is hurt. But go ahead. I mean,
so just quick injury update. Is his elbow still not right? But he's
it's not 100%.
You know what's not right about Josh Allen? He's going back to rookie Josh Allen. He's got Carson Wentzitis. That's the thing. He doesn't know when to end the play. He's trying to make a hero out of every play, and he's reverting back to rookie form. And someone's got to sit him down, and he's got to learn when to go down. He's got to learn when to throw the ball away. That's the problem with him.
So you're up next in that game. Sorry. You had a real strong opinion about the game.
That rookie would be pretty good, by the way.
Because I have to position myself. I'm going to make a big comeback in this.
I think Buffalo wins the game and covers the four.
Okay, Bruce, you want to?
Okay. Also, I'm a big Mac Jones fan.
And again,
it's at home in New England. The weather shouldn't be a factor because both teams are great at playing in that. But every now and then, you just say Belichick is the wizard, you know, in one of his last years. I think he's going to dial up something to really harass Josh Allen, and I think that New England will win this game. It's a must-win for them.
Yeah.
Buffalo has had an off and on season, just not – their flaws have been shown, and I think that New England's going to capitalize on it. So I'm picking New England in that game.
I'm taking Buffalo. I think this is – This is the time of the year where teams get ready for playoffs, and I think Buffalo is gearing up, and New England's on their way out. Brett, who do you have?
I'm going to have to go with Buffalo as well, even though Josh Allen is hurt.
All right, so we've got three Buffaloes and two New Englands. On this side of the aisle, we're New Englands, but maybe we're just big Mac Jones
fans. What's the next game?
Sometimes we root with our heart, not our minds.
Yeah, Mac needs this game.
So we've got the 7-4 New York Jets. Mike White comes out of the stands. I know we had a great one game last year. They're traveling to a 9-2 Minnesota. Minnesota is only giving up 3 points here.
Wow.
So Minnesota is giving two.
They're favored by three. Jets are getting three in Minnesota. 1 o'clock game.
Now
I'm really thinking about this. This is really a fun matchup.
Like
when you see teams that rarely play each other, two clashing styles. It's in Minnesota.
Yes.
The Jets are only getting two. I'll start off here. Mike White's new. He had, you know, he had a really good first game. It's still the Jets. They're going away. They're not a good away team. It's an indoor thing. Kirk Cousins is starting to play well. The Jets will have no answers for Justin Jefferson. That's just not enough points for me. That's just not enough. I would expect a bigger line, and the line isn't telling me anything. I'm taking the Vikings in this game. I'm going NFC in this game. Spence?
Yeah, I'm actually going to go against myself because you would think that.
You're going to beat up yourself? You better watch out, Brett. We're going to have to put him in a padded room.
On the table,
he's
going to
keep your hands.
Yeah, I need to be locked up somewhere pretty much.
Well, that's true, but go ahead.
That's
true. So what about this Jets-Vikings game? Go
ahead. Because, right, what does common sense tell you? The New York Jets and the Vikings are actually pretty decent. But the Vikings are all fat and sassy after their Turkey Day Thanksgiving special. They're feeling real good. The Jets actually like Mike White. They like that he's older than Wilson, more mature. The Vikings' defense is not good. Jets are actually going to surprise and win. Mike White will play pretty well again.
All right.
So upset in Minneapolis.
Brett, where are you going?
I have to go with the Vikings because they know what's on the line. They know they need every win and hope for an Eagles loss to get a first seed.
Doc? You want me to go? I'll go. I'm baffled. The line isn't more because I think the Jets are slowly starting to fall apart. They don't know really who the quarterback is. Obviously, Zach Wilson's no longer a fan favorite. So I'm going Minnesota. I think they blow them out.
I mean, I never understood the mentality, Brett, when you say that the Vikings need the game more or they understand what I don't know what that means. The Jets also know it. That both teams are very well coached. I really like both coaches. Bobby Saleh is a great defensive mind. He was with San Francisco, a great defensive mind. And they have some dogs on defense. That is really a really great team. That being said, the Vikings are going to blow the doors off the Jets because they're coming off an extra rest and everything else. Who's next?
So, I'm sorry, Doc.
Vikings are going to blow
Minnesota.
The doors
okay.
off.
Okay,
the
I'll
Jets.
Be alone.
All right.
I'll text you when the game is literally in overtime.
I'll
text
you. I'll make sure
you
have my phone number. Okay.
That'll be a fun game. I think we can all agree that's just two teams you rarely see play.
That's going to be
entertaining. I'm looking forward to that game.
It's going
to
be a good game. That's
going to be a fun game.
We're picking good games so far.
Yeah, these are great games, of course, Josh.
So, Washington is at the New York Football Giants. Washington is 7-5. Your football Giants, Spencer, are 7-4.
Mm-hmm.
They're giving up. Washington's getting 2.5. So what do you think? Where are you going to go, Spencer? Are you going to stay home?
Commanders.
Commanders. Tyler Heineke, the greatest quarterback.
You're telling me, so you're saying Commanders in the game?
Yeah, but it'll be.
Commanders are -2.5.
I would not be confident betting this game, though. I wouldn't.
Who are you taking?
The Washington.
-2.5.
Yeah.
Okay.
They're going to win by a field goal or something.
Doc?
Okay. It's a tough game, as I said. I'm hesitating here. I think that Giants are play. I think they're coaching. Brian Daboll is coaching very well. And it's still a Washington going away. I just don't see, you know, despite what I said earlier, I think it's going to be a very close game, very close to the line. And I'm going to take the Giants in this game.
Okay. Brett, where are you going?
Both teams have been very good, especially Washington, ever since they got rid of Carson Wentz. And the fact that they beat the Eagles kind of makes me feel hope for them to beat the Giants.
So you're going.
He's
Washington.
Going Commanders.
Commanders.
Yeah, go Redskins. See, I said it twice.
Okay, I will.
One more time.
I will. You know what? I like the way Brian Daboll's really coaching this team. My nephew Crew is watching, and apparently he's good. He said to stay true and go with the Washington Commanders.
Yeah, because you guys watch that Giants team on Thanksgiving, and they don't have any receivers. That's the thing about this team right now. They don't have any juice.
In what world are the Giants at home and they're underdogs with a better record and they're an underdog? I don't agree with you. I think Dable's doing a terrible job. They lost 2 in a row. Look at their record. Their conference record's 3-4. Their division record's 0-2. They're a Fergazi team. They shouldn't even be in the win column.
Yeah.
Washington's going to win this game, and they're going to cover the spread. Come on. Yeah. Taylor Heineke is playing great.
Taylor.
Where are you coming off? The Dable's doing a great job. They lost 2 in a row.
Exactly.
They stink.
Exactly.
The Giants stink.
They're frauds.
Put them back in the
All right.
In
the Redskins have better talent. They do. Terry McLaurin. Yeah. Like, they have better talent.
All right.
We have 2 games left, Josh. How many?
3, Doc.
3 guys. So we're going to move quickly.
Okay,
so thank you.
Kansas City 9-2 at Cincinnati 7-4. Kansas City is getting 2 points. I'm sorry, giving 2 points. So
Cincinnati's a favorite.
No. Kansas City is minus two.
All right, go. You guys go.
I'll jump in. I believe that in an up and down league, Cincinnati is making its move, just like a horse. It's breaking from the pack, and it's a must win for them. And I think Joe Burrow and the team Mixon are getting stronger. A good defense, a really going into the Lions' den. I even though I'm going against what might be the best team in the AFC, I'm just feeling the Bengals this week. That's just where I'm going with my gut.
Doc, I hope you're right. I'm a Joe Burrow and T. Higgins fantasy
T.
owner.
Higgins.
You know, and as much
fantasy
as
owner,
fantasy owner, as we make our playoff push,
T. Higgins is great.
But I can never. For every time I go against the Chiefs, they end up winning. So I'm going to take the Kansas City Chiefs and the points.
Go against the Chiefs. Go against the Chiefs. This is the biggest game of the week. This is the two best quarterbacks in
what
the
time
NFL.
Is this game buried? Is this buried at 1 o'clock?
It's a 4 o'clock game. 4:25.
That's a 4 o'clock. That's a good game.
Yeah, that's
425
great.
Game we'll be watching.
In the jungle.
CBS.
They're coming in the jungle. Take the Bengals, baby. This is the Rover Sports Steve Lewis lock of the week.
Cincinnati.
Joe Burrow. Cincinnati is going to win this game outright.
All right. You know what? Just because everybody's rolling with Cincinnati.
The jungle, Spencer.
I think, guess what? Patrick Mahomes, he just has a child. And he's very upset at Joe Burrow for beating him last year. Kansas City.
Okay. Brett, where are
you
going?
Brett, where are you heading?
I'm a
with
Chiefs
this
fan,
one?
But if you look at the records, Bengals beat the Chiefs twice last year, one in the regular season and one in the playoff season.
Number.
They have the Chiefs' number, sadly, but I do hope the Chiefs
there's
win.
There's a big but there.
But you're taking the Bengals, but you're rooting for the Chiefs.
You're taking Cincinnati.
All right, Spencer, here's your boys, okay? Your two favorite teams, Miami at San Francisco.
These are two of your 30 favorite teams.
This could be a classic.
And Miami's getting 4 points. Traveled across the country, Tyreek Hill. Everyone's coming back into place. Tua has been revived all of a sudden. He's a hero. Tyreek Hill's having an unbelievable year. Quickly, Spencer.
I'll just jump in here. Yeah. I just think San Francisco hasn't let up a point in the last 4 weeks. It's a really strong ask to get.
Is that true?
Miami, yes. To get Miami to travel across the nation with Tua against this incredible defense, I don't think 4 points is enough. I'm giving the points, and I'm taking the 49ers as an ascending team. The biggest threat to the Eagles are the 49ers. I truly believe that.
I believe it, too.
And I also don't dislike Garoppolo as much as many people. Driving in, there's a lot of people who don't believe in him. I think he's a better-than-average quarterback. So I think this is going to be a statement win for the 49ers.
Spencer.
It's a pretty good pick. I mean, Tua in this game, like if he gets sacked, we have to see if he stays healthy the rest of the year in this game. But I'm going with a surprise win. Miami's mojo is just great. Their chemistry is off the charts. And I think that this is like a special Miami game. I really do. So I think the Dolphins are actually going to win. Upset.
Spencer, I agree with you. I love Jalen Waddle. I love Tyreek Hill. What they're doing, they're becoming the best receiving combo in the league. So I'm going Miami.
Go ahead, Brad.
So I'm going to go with Miami as well because ever since they had Tua back, I mean, they've been undefeated with Tua this year. The only times they've lost is without Tua.
That's it.
So is everybody picking
though.
Miami?
Except Doc.
Yeah.
Doc's got
my family's
Doc's
on
got,
Miami.
I got the 49ers.
So everybody thinks that Miami's going to travel across the country. Is that what you're saying?
I
agree with you. Miami's going to win this game. They're going to win
the
game.
God.
Yes.
Okay. So then yes. That's the great. Last game.
I never thought he'd be on an island with the 49ers at all.
I need to catch
up some ground in the standings anyway. This is the last game.
And it's the one that's near and dear to the hearts. The Tennessee Titans come to Philadelphia, 7-4, taking on the 10-1 Philadelphia Eagles. The Eagles are -5. They're giving up 5 points.
Oh, and this line's come down, Steve. You know that. It was at 6.
Spencer, where are we going?
Where are you going,
Spencer? I like Tennessee. Let me see if I'm going to pick them to win. I'll go upset special. I'll go Tennessee. So I like the Titans this week. I like this defense and running game.
Doc.
Okay. I just don't think Tennessee sees enough of the Eagles. And even though they have a great defense and a really good coach who's a great Hall of Fame linebacker, I really feel that the crowd will be the 12th man. And I think it's going to be a really fun game at 1 o'clock. I'm going to be putting a big shout-out for Wilbert Montgomery, who'll be attending the game with us, with Spencer and myself, and everybody's invited. So I just think this is a really marquee game. You can't look past the Titans. It's going to be a physical game, and I believe Jalen will make it out alive. And I'm going to pick the Eagles and give the points, and I'm feeling the home team.
Dr. Lewis.
Yeah, I think this is the most fortunate game that the Philadelphia Eagles could have at this point in the juncture of the season at 10-1. Mike Vrabel is an elite defensive mind, as I've said. Tennessee is an elite team. They have an unbelievable running back that we've really been unable to stop the run, even with our two additions. I think Tennessee wins this game in Philadelphia, and it saddens me to say it, but I think there's the potential for some exposure here, which is learning points for our team to learn and improve upon.
Brett, who you got?
I'm going to go with the Eagles because they know the Vikings are right up on them, and they know they got to do whatever they can to keep that first seed.
I just don't see the team going 11-1. I got to be honest with you. I think
that's true.
So I'm going to go with Tennessee.
They also have that tiebreaker, though, which is good.
Doc, a great show.
No, I think it's a great show. I want to thank everybody for tuning in to Rover Sports, all the participants, Brett Kronberger. We had a ton of people watching on Bruce Grossinger Facebook, and I want to wish everybody a good night. And as we always say when we close, good night and good sports.
Thanks, Doc.